It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you here in studio today, and welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective Radio Show. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and our guest for today is Eric Kroner, and we're going to be talking about the five knowledge centers. Bring human being back to the human being. I have to think about that one, Eric.
Okay.
Well, let me give you a little background
on
Eric.
So do I.
Good. Eric's an internationally recognized executive coach, trainer, keynote speaker, and pioneer in the coaching profession. He's currently a senior trainer for the Coaches Training Institute. He enjoys icon status in the business due in part to his fearlessness in calling people forth for the sake of their learning and leadership. He's a catalyst for leadership excellence across cultures. Eric's delivered training programs on five continents. Wow, Eric. Prior to becoming a coach and a leadership trainer, Eric worked for 20 years in the entertainment industry, appearing on stage as well as in film and television. And I found out my personal coach, Cynthia Lloyd Darst, and Eric worked together back in New York many years ago.
You bet.
Well, maybe yesterday. Eric has broken new ground in leadership development by applying his acting expertise to his work. His latest endeavor is the Five Knowledge Centers, which he has created with his co-partners, Pim Harder and Krister Lowe, of the Team Coaching Zone. And Eric's going to share with us a new and simple model that he says is revolutionizing how we coach ourselves, others, and teams. Eric, welcome to the Coaching Perspective radio show community.
Wow.
Impressive background.
I'm impressed with myself. Just give me a second to get over that. And also, I'm really happy to be here.
Well, thank you very much. Well, look, I gave some of the highlights, but really, what got you from acting into coaching?
Good question. I got into coaching actually before they were calling it coaching.
Yeah.
All right. I would like to say I was this really, really talented, brilliant actor in New York City back in the early 80s that was going nowhere fast. And there was this organization called Actors Information Project, which is actually, that's where I met Cynthia Lloyd Darst and Henry Kimsey House.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Both of them were working there. And it was a resource center for actors. And it was kind of like going to the gym. You paid a monthly fee for it. And they had all these different services. Back then, this was before personal computers, so they had computerized mailing services. They had a resource library. And they also had what's called consulting for the business of acting. And my coach, well, my consultant, that I was assigned to was Henry Kimsey House.
Who's wow, there, that's the father of coaching practice.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. And he told me back in those days, he said to me, "You're my best client." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because you know you need it." So he started this program called the Consultants Training Program at Actors Information Project, and that's how I got introduced to it. He started playing around with a lot of skill sets that are now kind of standard coaching skills that are used throughout the industry. So I was doing it without knowing that it was coaching for a while.
Well, you know, that's in contrast to the people that are claiming to be coaching today and not coaching. I like your version better, coaching, not realizing that's what it was.
Yeah, it wasn't until – so I got the training, I think it was in 86, and Cynthia was in the class, and there were a few other people that are now very, very talented coaches that were actors at the time.
Okay.
And we learned these skill sets. And then I moved out to Hollywood, and Actors Information Project, AIP, started sending clients to me. So that's how I started in coaching. And I jokingly say, you know, all actors, unless you're super successful, have what we call bread jobs. And when I first moved out to California, I was basically a messenger boy. You know, I would, you know, bring things to the studios and, you know, scripts. Back then, you couldn't just email.
You couldn't email it and text it.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I was doing this, and at the same time, Henry was starting to call himself a coach, and I was in the middle of a delivery one day, and I'm going, hey, I could do this. You know, Henry can show me how to do this. And that's kind of how I became a coach. And I jokingly would say, you know, I act to support my coaching career. Because I found something that I loved as much as acting.
So what's the correlation between acting and coaching? Because you aren't the first actor that I've met that has gone into coaching.
Well, I mean, I think, and probably we'll get deeper into this in our discussion, I think that a lot of the basic acting skills that actors are taught apply to coaches.
Okay.
In other words, so an actor has to be a wonderful listener. So does a coach. Actors need to be aware of their impact. Well, so do coaches. Actors have to be curious. So do coaches. So there's a lot of what I would call, parallel learnings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That go with that.
I'll have to check that with Cynthia and see what her take is on it, too,
okay.
One day. But I agree with you. That sounds good. So what are you doing now? Give us a little rundown. You told me before the show you're embarking on a new direction with some great collaborators.
I think that's kind of the key, what you just said. Can I tell you just a little bit about what I was doing and what I still am doing?
No, I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear it?
No, okay, no, tell me.
Okay, so I'm a senior facilitator for the Coaches Training Institute.
Yeah.
I've been doing that for over 23 years now, and I love it. I just love training new coaches. That's something that I'm passionate about. And there's this piece of me that wants to create my own stuff. And I have in the past, but I kind of put it on the shelf because of the work I'm doing with CTI, the work I'm doing in organizations have kept me very, very busy. And there's this piece of me that wants to stretch myself. There's this piece of me that wants to go out and do my own thing.
Yeah.
And I became, very curious with the two other guys that I'm working with about what's next in the coaching world.
If you've got the answer to that, I want to hear that.
Well, I don't know if I have the answer, but I do know that in order to survive, and I don't believe I'm just talking about myself, we, the coaching industry, has to continually reinvent itself.
I would agree with that. I think I would phrase it a little different. Rather than saying we have to, I think that it is natural that we evolve into providing services similar and in a deeper way.
Yeah, I agree. And I also believe I'm going to hold to we need.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example of that. So one of my partner, Crystal Lowe, went to a conference, and the keynote speaker was the head of executive coaching for Google. And I don't know his name offhand. But basically the message he was saying is, if you don't think the coaching industry is going to be disrupted in the same way that other professions are getting disrupted, you're being naive. So there is a way that I believe all of us in the coaching profession need to continually be curious, need to be continually reinventing themselves, finding new ways, instead of fighting technology, actually embrace it. And kind of that's what I mean when I say that it's essential.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I wouldn't disagree at all. I think the unknown is how it's going to be disrupted and how we're going to respond to that disruption. That's probably the unknown. The guarantee is it will.
Yeah. Yeah. I myself personally, I'm not saying I have the answer here, and this is where I'm placing my bets.
Okay.
Okay.
And I would say that I think there are answers, not a answer.
Exactly. Yeah. So, in terms of how I see the coaching world, I'm very fortunate that I've been able to kind of witness the evolution of it. And I think for a very, very long time, people would ask me, is this a fad? And I've always said to them, well, I've been doing it for such and such amount of time, and that's all I can tell you is that it hasn't been a fad for me. It's been something that's continually growing. And the thing that I also always used to say was, and you're still on the ground floor of something important. I've changed that.
Okay.
One-on-one coaching. So, when, for instance, when I first brought this work into corporations back in the early 2000s, that's when I was starting to do it. I would say that I was on the bleeding edge. Like, there were a couple of people that were interested in it, but for the most part, the business world wasn't really embracing it yet. And then maybe in the mid-2000s, companies started seeing coaching as a cutting-edge offering. And it became, I would say that was the next wave. Now, most companies get it. Most companies get that leadership coaching, executive coaching has value. So we're starting to become mainstream. And that's the good news and the bad news.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot, and you were saying it before we got on the air, there's a lot of people now calling themselves coaches. And so there's a lot of people out there doing this work. And some of them are great coaches, and some
yes.
of them need training, if you ask me. And what's the next wave is where I'm looking. And I truly believe that team coaching is going to be an essential piece of the puzzle as we move forward in the business world.
You know, and you and I talked about this before the show, and I agree 100% with you, Eric. I think that it's essential in business because in business today, it is so complex. Nobody can do anything on their own. Everybody, you have to collaborate. You have to have a partner. You have to have a team. You have to have a project team. I don't care what you call it.
Right.
And the issue always is, how do you work together
exactly.
with each other?
Yeah. So guess what? You asked me what my business, I'm moving into working with other people for the first time in a long, long time. That I'm actually going to be partnering. And the name of the company is TeamCoachingZone.com. And I'm going to be coming on. It's a relatively new company. I think it's been around. Krister, I think, founded it maybe two and a half years ago. And this is the other thing. I feel so fortunate to be working with Krister and Pim because they're both brilliant in their own right. And the brilliant thing about Krister is his ability to get what's needed technologically and actually create a platform for that. And so this platform, which we're calling TeamCoachingZone.com, is really the vision that he has, and I'm supporting it, is that he wants to create basically the Amazon of team coaching. He wants to create a platform that that offers, yes, our own products and services, but also offers other really good products and services. So we're looking for entrepreneurs that are interested in, bringing team coaching, leadership development, and one-on-one coaching to the next level.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The Amazon of coaching.
Yeah,
I've got to dwell on that for a minute. I'm not sure I can picture that in my mind.
Well, what I mean by that is that Amazon is a platform that offers many different products and
yes.
services. Some of them are their own, like Kindle and iCloud servicing, and they got a bunch of different services. Also, Amazon Prime. That's
yeah.
So that's something that is a product and service that is Amazon. They own that. And they also sell a bunch of other stuff. They sell books. They sell electronics. They sell clothing that isn't necessarily manufactured by Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Krister, Pim, and I are really looking to do. We're looking to, yes, we've gotten, and we'll talk a little bit later about some of the products and services that we offer, but we're also looking for people that are entrepreneurial, that want to work under this platform, or over, whichever way you want to look at it.
Sure.
But want to partner with us and sell other things that aren't necessarily things that we've created.
Okay, I can't hardly wait to get into this in depth. But before we do, before we go to commercial break,
okay,
let me ask you that question I ask everybody. What's your guiding principle?
Stay humble and step into your greatness.
Ah, I like it. How do you live it?
Oh, one day at a time. So let me give you a little bit more context. So stay humble to me is know that there's more for you to learn. Be curious about what's out there. Don't think that you have all the answers. And also, I think a mentor of mine, I once asked him, and this was maybe 30 years ago, his name was Carlton Franks, he's passed away, but he was a great man, and I asked him, because he was like, to me, a walking example of humility, and I asked him, well, what is humility? Because I didn't understand it at that time at all. And he said, humility is seeing things as they really are. Not looking down, not looking up, but looking eyeball to eyeball with what's really happening in your life.
I like that.
Yeah, so like on a daily basis, I shoot for that. And I'm not always successful because I got an ego. I got an ego that's got an inferiority complex. So I have to kind of
You're doubly blessed. Talk about motivated.
So it's not a... It's a journey. It's not a destination. It's not something that I would say that I've mastered, but it is something that I am aware of and that I work on. And I do have a big value around learning, and I think it takes humility to actually be open to learning. So that's the humility part. Stepping into your greatness is knowing that actually there are some things that I actually do know.
Okay.
And it's important for me to bring what I know into the world. Like really recognizing that.
Shine your light.
Yeah, exactly. Shine your light. So there's this kind of tightrope that I try to walk with my life in terms of humility and greatness. Both need to be there.
I love the yin and yang of that. That's good. Well, look, let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back and jump into today's topic. And we're back, and we're visiting today with Eric Kohner of TeamCoachingZone.com, and we're going to talk about a lot of things here.
Cool.
So where do you want to start, Eric?
You know, at some point in the interview, I'd like to talk about what I'm up to now.
Let's tell me now.
Okay.
What are you up to?
Now is now.
Now is now.
Okay. All right. We, and I say we, once again, Krister and Pim and I,
right,
have been exploring what we call the five knowledge centers, maybe for the last year. And originally, we started working with this because I told you earlier, we did a tall ship adventure where we took 10 coaches and executives in transition on a tall ship race for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that was where to where?
It was from, oh God, I'm forgetting the place. It was the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Torbay. From Torbay to a small town in Portugal, and I'm going blank on the place, but it was Portugal.
Okay.
Okay. And they got sales training, SAILS training, and also we did some leadership development / team coaching work with them as a group, and it was an extraordinary trip. I think I could spend a whole session with you talking about that trip, some of the stuff that went down, but the bottom line was what we saw was that we have something here. You know, the three of us have something that is important that is really good, and we want to bring it into the world. And our next venture is that we're going to be developing a three-day program on how to use the five knowledge centers. And let me give you a little bit of context of what I mean by the five knowledge centers.
Yeah, because I wasn't familiar with it until you and I talked.
So. Yeah. The five knowledge centers, so there are five areas of the human body that we believe have a ton of information that both coaches and executives can use to be better leaders. And so the first knowledge center is the head, and that's where reason resides. And that's an area that I believe at least Western civilization has mastered. Actually, we're pretty good at accessing knowledge from there.
And it seems most of the research today, scientific research, is all focused on tapping more and more and being more aware of what's going on in our brain.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, I would say the only problem with it is it's a bit top-heavy. I think we as human beings rely too much on our brain and not enough on the other knowledge centers. And the four other knowledge centers that I'll be introducing, I think you'll get it's pretty simple. So the next one is the heart, where you access love. The gut, where you access intuition. The groin area, where you access passion. And the hand area, which is both, I believe, where you make things and there's a kinesthetic experience that happens with your hands.
Okay.
And what we've done is created a very, very simple program where people can learn how to use it in three different areas of their lives. Number one, they can use it individually for their own individual, personal, and professional growth. Number two, they can use it either as a coach or as a leader using coaching skills. And number three, they can also use this systemically in team coaching. The five knowledge centers has the ability to work in all three areas. And that, to me, is probably the most exciting part of this venture, is that we're coming up with one model that works. We like to call it the three leadership principles. So principle number one, it's all about me.
Yeah.
You get to work on yourself with this.
I got that one down pat.
Yeah, usually we have one or two areas where we're really good, you know. The other is it's all about you, which is more the one-on-one coaching aspect of it. And then the last one is all about we, which is how are you showing up with your team? How are you showing up with your company? How are you showing up with your profession at large? And the ripple effect of how you're showing up as a leader. We're going to have a workshop in November, and we're going to actually be training people in all three of those areas.
Okay. Now, I can relate to the three areas.
Yes.
Me, you, we.
Mm-hmm.
When you say use the knowledge centers, can you give me some example of what you mean there? Because that I'm sort of struggling with that.
Would you mind if I did a little coaching with you?
Not at all.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind at all.
All right. So this will be really quick, 5 minutes.
Okay? All right.
All right. So what's something that you are yearning for in your life right now?
Yearning for. More time with my grandchildren.
More time with your child. Well, so this is going to be easy. Put your hand on your heart.
Okay.
Okay. So get in touch with your heart right now. And when you think about spending more time with your grandchildren, what comes up?
What comes up? It makes you pause.
Makes you
pause. You take a deep breath.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually noticing your face shifted. Like there was like a very sweet tenderness that showed up in your eyes.
Yeah, it's probably not there the rest of the time.
It's there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the information you're getting from your heart. Let's now go down to your gut.
Okay.
And so intuitively, what needs to happen? What's your vision?
Well, I need to make it a priority.
Need to make it a priority.
Yeah. Rather than waiting for it to happen.
Exactly. And now let's go to the groin area. Why is this so passionate? What's the passion around being with your grandchildren? What is it that, like...
Well, I love them.
Yeah, you love them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, that's simple. That's easy.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy. And at this moment, what are your hands telling you about this?
I don't know.
Okay. And that's okay, too. You don't have to know.
Yeah, that one I don't know.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to just throw something out.
Sure.
All right. And this is totally my intuition. All right. But there's actually something about the kinesthetic, like touching your grandchildren, being able to play with them, being able to, I don't know, roughhouse with them, or there's something around the doing of being a granddad.
I would agree completely. I mean, I'm kind of the grandparent that is ready to get dirty with the kids. Yeah. I'm the one on the ground wrestling.
Exactly, exactly. So yeah. That might be a place for hand. Now we're going to actually go to the head. Okay, you've just kind of explored those four areas. What are you going to now? What's the action that actually needs to be taken around your grandchildren?
There's a lot of actions. It could be I could work on scheduling.
Right.
A systematic approach. Mm-hmm. I could let them know, in case they don't, that, hey, I want time with you.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
Exactly.
What are they going to do?
Exactly.
They don't drive yet, but that's okay.
Okay. How old are they?
They go from 16 down to 6.
Yeah, okay.
8 of them.
So, it's funny. The first thing you said didn't have as much resonance, but when you were saying, let them know that you're available, there was something that actually resonated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after this interview, will you call up one of your grandchildren?
Okay, Coach.
You will?
I will.
Okay.
I will.
Great. All right. And shoot me an email. Let me know how it goes.
Okay.
All right. Good. Cool. So you just got a little, quick demo.
So there you go, audience. You've just observed a coaching demonstration live on rehearse.
Thank you for being a good sport.
Well, thank you for doing such a great job on it. So that really illustrates the five different areas.
Exactly.
Was there anything significant about the order in which you took them?
No.
I was kind of surprised you left the head for last, but I was kind of glad you did because that would spout the normal response.
Exactly. And that happens a lot of times only because we are so, I say we as human beings, we're so well trained in our heads that sometimes we bypass the other knowledge centers.
Oh, sure. We know what the answer should be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And we also know that to a certain extent that's been the key to our success is, doing that. So I think that exploring the other knowledge centers first then gives you the ability to go back to your head and include everything else.
I like that.
Yeah.
Now, how does this work in terms of team coaching?
Yeah, this is, to me, this is the most amazing part of this, is that it works really well.
Okay, that's the bottom line answer.
Okay, it works really, really well, because what we've discovered, and we discovered it through, we're trying to practice what we preach. We're using the five knowledge centers as we're developing our company.
The three of you.
The three of
that team.
Yeah, is that team. Exactly. And we've also worked on other teams. And what we've found out that systemically, teams have a heart. Teams have intuition. Teams have passion. Teams are very much about productivity, and that's where the hands come in.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a team consciousness that resides in the head. And it's amazing when we start working with teams how we'll get a team up. What we'll do is we'll with tape, we'll put together like a stick drawing of a human being.
Okay.
And we'll actually ask the team, first we'll ask what is it they need coaching on, right? And then we'll ask them, so where are you right now in regards to whatever they're getting coached on?
Sure.
And maybe one team member might go to the heart and going, my heart is breaking right now because we're not getting the results that we want to get. Another person might be down in the groin area and saying, yeah, but I'm really, really ready to do something about it. Another team member might be in their heads going, you know, I'm trying to figure out the budget that's needed for this to happen. You know, and all of them, we validate. It's not like we're one is right and one is wrong. Wherever the team is standing is where they are at the moment. And then we start moving them around, and we start having them interact from different knowledge centers.
How does this relate to the different factors that motivate us individually? Is it because I'm seeing some similarity as I think about assessments I've done identifying what motivates people. And you might be motivated by relationships. Somebody else is motivated by money. Somebody else is motivated by prestige.
Exactly.
It sounds like there's this sort of is touching on the same thing.
Definitely touching. I think what makes it different is that it's actually embodied. Whereas with an assessment, a lot of times all that information goes directly into the head.
Yes, it's processed there, sure.
Yeah, it's processed there. Here, it's actually processed through the actual. So if there's a person who's more relational, right, they're actually standing in the heart, and we get to see that as a team. As a team member, I get to see, oh, this person is wanting to connect with me in a relational way. How can I then, as somebody who might be more analytical, how can I strengthen my heart muscle?
Okay.
Okay. Also, there's a way that we get teams to recognize what they're already powerful at and where they may want to improve.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And having it be...
Because they're never balanced. I mean, yeah, it makes sense that they're leaning more one way than the other.
Exactly. Exactly. And where do they need to take a risk? That's where we may have them, you know, step down into the groin area. Where do they need to, like, stand up and be a stand for something? Or we may take them to the hand area where there might be somebody that's like, you were a builder. So what I make up is you worked a lot with people that were really good with their hands.
Yeah.
You know, so what needs to get created to make this team more powerful? You may have them go to the hands.
You know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking one of the common things I hear when I work with executive teams is that they frequently say that what frustrates them the most is that the people working for them don't seem to be passionate about the business.
Yeah, exactly.
That they're there to put in their time and to collect their check, and they're missing the passion that, let's say, the founders or the executives have so strong,
right?
And they don't know how to create that. How does that fit into your model there?
Well,
coaching opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of an instance where Krister was coaching a team, and I don't want to speak inaccurately, but. So I'm not going to, but I think it was a pharmaceutical team. It wasn't the pharmaceutical. It was another, it was a coaching company. And he first coached the team leader.
Mm-hmm.
He first coached the CEO in front of the, and what you're pointing to, perhaps if we coach the president first in front of the team and he gets vulnerable enough to start expressing some of the things that are frustrating him, some of the things that he feels like he's failing at, or some of the things that he wants more of, but isn't there, that in itself can have a very powerful, I mean, authenticity is powerful.
Sure, sure.
What he did was he first worked with the CEO. The team got to see, oh, wow, he's being real with us.
Yeah, a moment of truth.
It was like a moment of truth that showed up. And because of that, then the rest of the team was more willing. And, you know, we model what we're shown. as human mm-hmm. beings. And if a team leader shows that kind of vulnerability, then there's a greater chance that the rest of the team can then start showing what is really happening with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So that kind of shows how you would use it in coaching a team.
Definitely.
You modeled how to use it with an individual.
We also can come up with a strategy. We do strategy sessions with the five knowledge centers, too.
Explain that.
So what we'll do is we'll work with a team, and we'll start by asking, so what is it that you want to create? And they'll come up with their vision, mm-hmm. right? And usually that's the intuitive part of the team. And what we'll do is we'll on a flip chart have the five knowledge centers there,
right?
And we'll start brainstorming different things that need to happen for them to reach their goal,
to achieve the vision.
Yeah. So there are different questions that you ask different knowledge. So for instance, in the heart, you're asking who questions. So who do you need to be? Who do you want to reach? Who do you want to connect with as a business, all right? The gut or the intuitive place mm-hmm. is more of a where question. Where do you want this to go? You know, what is this going to look like? It's more kind of like the visionary part of
okay.
them. The groin, as I mentioned, is more of the passionate place. What is it that you're yearning for? What needs to happen for this team to be the best possible team it can be? So it's more of a why, and also the why. Why are you doing this? Why is it important?
So always start with the why.
Yeah, exactly. the hands are the how. How are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. How is it going to be created? And then what am I missing?
The head.
The head is the what. What will it take? You know, what's important about this?
This is fascinating. I mean, I'm just envisioning a executive team or a project team looking at their strategy, looking at each one of their strategic goals.
Right.
And breaking it down into the five knowledge centers.
Yeah.
And identifying basically the blueprint of what it's going to take to go from here to there.
Exactly. And yeah, it's very exciting. And also what's on the horizon, we haven't created it yet, but we're also going to be creating assessment tools around the five knowledge centers. Very much okay. So what you were talking about, that there are assessment tools that identify different strengths in different parts of the team. We're going to probably create something like that and have it aligned with.
Well, this is fascinating.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And just in terms of team, one other thing that I want to say about teams is that we've also identified, and I want to give Krister a lot of credit because he's the one that invented it, that there's three places that you need to actually address on a team. One of it is you need to assess the team. You need to know what their strengths and what they can improve.
Okay.
Then the second piece is how do you build the team? What are you building? And the third piece is the ongoing coaching that occurs as they're developing as a team.
So let me ask, I know you're in the, I'm going to say my impression is you're in the early stages of this program.
Totally.
Okay.
Your startup.
So is there a start and stop to this coaching model, or is this an ongoing process that, because many times I see coaches sort of focus on issues that are, I come in, I coach on this, it's solved, I'm done, and I'm gone. And right. yet, in my own business coaching, many times, especially in the work I do with teams, you're never done.
Yes.
You know, because the team continues, and it's out there, it's alive, there's things affecting it.
Right.
There's failures, there's successes, there's new parts and pieces that are being interchanged with the team, the objectives shift. I don't know that the coaching has an end point. What's your take on that?
My take on it is I think that every coaching relationship has a beginning, middle, and an end to it. We don't know what that is as coaches, because for each client, I think there's a different arc mm-hmm. to all of that. What we're wanting to do is work 6 months to a year with executive teams. We're wanting that length of time. And then after 1 year, let's say, then we can reevaluate what's needed. And for some teams, that might be enough. For some mm-hmm. teams, they're cooked, and they actually know how to use the model. They're self-coaching to a certain extent. And there'll be other teams that want to have more, and that's fine too. But we do believe that it's not a quick fix. It's not something that we're going to come in and...
I would agree, absolutely.
We're not there actually to solve the problem. We're there to enhance the experience. The team itself will solve the problem.
A great coaching answer. I'm from your government. I'm here to help you.
Yes, exactly.
You are really excited. In the conversations I've had both on air and before, you get really turned on by this new experience. You know?
Yeah, it's true. I'm busted.
Is this a pattern for you? Is this the next bright, shiny thing?
This is the part where, you know, I feel like that I'm gonna get analyzed a little bit here. I do get excited about a lot of things, and I also stick with it. There's something about, you know, when you ask the guiding principles,
yeah.
My first thought was don't give up. That's another guiding principle.
Okay.
You know, when coaches say to me, Eric, you know, because I've been in the business for 30 years, so a lot of young coaches will ask me, "What if you were to give me one piece of advice, what would that be?" And generally speaking, it's don't give up. Just don't give up. Just, you know, continue to, you know, you're going to have moments of high highs and you're going to have moments of low lows. And you just need to get through those. And if you really believe in what you're doing, you're going to make it.
You know, what impresses me, Eric, about you, among a number of other things, is that coaching is your day job and your night job.
Yeah,
it isn't a sideline for you.
For me, it is a calling. It's definitely a calling. And for me, you know, I don't want to lie. I've had dark moments. You know, we all have. I mean, we all. You know, we don't. There's no human being that gets. You know, that only great things are always happening to them. I've had some very, very dark moments in my life, and the work that I do is so essential to having me show up. Because coaching is this is the great thing. You know, I think also as human beings, but I can only talk about myself. I can get sucked into me pretty easily, right?
Sure.
And what coaching has allowed for me, it's trained me to be over there. It's trained me, and that's a lifeline for me. To not be focusing on me all the time and be focusing on other people and focusing on other teams, focusing on the classes that I teach, is like a lifeline to a fulfilling life. Because if I spend more of my time over there than I do inside of me, chances are, I like to say my mind is like a bad neighborhood. I should never go in it alone. And coaching provides me that avenue where I'm connected to the world. So yeah, it is. It's more than a job for me. It's a lifeline.
So you know, you touched on it a little bit earlier about where coaching is going and the disruption that's going to occur. I don't think technology is a huge, I don't see it as a disruption. Of course, I'm in love with technology.
Yeah.
But I see it as a tool, as a resource to be used for my coaching. What bothers me about the coaching profession or the coaching group today is the amount of energy that is being spent being concerned about people who don't have coaching training and say they are coaches.
Right.
And I see it as such a waste of time.
I agree.
I think every business, whether it's a mechanic or whether it's an IT consultant, everybody, every business, every profession has posers in them.
Yeah.
And why would I worry about that?
Yeah.
You know?
I'm with you.
So
I mean,
where do you see, what do you see the disruption that's going to impact coaching? What is going to disrupt it?
I think technology, and I'm not saying it's negative. I'm just saying that it's kind of the you know, it's the wave that we're on.
Oh,
I think
good catch. It's not negative. Yeah.
Yeah.
Disruption doesn't mean negative.
No, I actually
Thank
don't.
You.
Yeah, I don't think disruption
you caught me.
Is necessarily. Disruption, though, is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not negative, but it can be very uncomfortable because what we thought is the way that things are. Like, for instance, the whole taxi profession has been disrupted Uber and Lyft and a bunch of other companies that are doing. You know, I used to be a taxi driver, okay?
In New York. Oh,
yeah,
boy. Now, there's an image that I'm going to have to get rid of if we're going to be friends.
Oh, boy. Can you take the knife out of my back? Now that that's totally been disrupted, and it's not necessarily bad. It's just different.
Yeah.
And the whole industry is, you know, I mean, for people that have been taxi drivers for 30 years, it's pretty... You know,
it's pretty upsetting.
It's pretty upsetting, right? I think in the coaching profession, and it's not just the coaching profession; it's just where technology, but AI, artificial intelligence, all the different apps that are out there now and available to us that we didn't have, you know, even 5-10 years ago. All of that is going to disrupt. I mean, there are going to be certain things that technologically we don't even know what they're going to be capable of in 20 years from now. And that as an industry, I think it's important for us to not, you know, think that it's not going to happen. There's going to be certain things that
be prepared for change.
Be prepared for change and actually be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as best you can. Now, look, I'm a 65-year-old man. I'm not technologically as astute as a 30-year-old because they've been brought up on it, right? And I also know that I bring something that a 30-year-old can't bring because they just haven't lived long enough. So there's a way that I believe all of us need to show up differently in order to catch the next wave, whatever that next wave is. And for me, it's to, like, so I just hired a technology person to consult with. I just hired
Our friend Dan?
No, I mean, Dan is with my website.
Okay.
This lady that I'm hiring is going to actually teach me how to use different apps so that I can run my business better.
Oh.
All right?
Interesting.
I'm also playing around with... a lot of things that I never thought that I would play around with in the technology world, like what you're doing, you know, being an interviewer or writing blogs or creating online classes that up until now I've only taught in person. These are things that I know in order for me to actually thrive in this profession, I got to get with the program. It's not a right or wrong. It's like, do you want to survive in the profession you're in?
Disruption is here to stay.
Yeah, disruption is here to stay, and you can either, you know, moan and groan about it, or you can get on it, you know. And here's the other piece. I also know, and this is an inner knowing. I mean, I don't have facts around this, but the human condition, technologically is shifting also. So companies are starting, for instance, I'm talking about the five knowledge centers. Companies are really starting to get that in order to thrive, their people need to come from the heart. They're starting to get that to be innovative, they need to use their intuition. The next wave is they're going to get, you even brought it up earlier in the session, is that they're going to need people in their organization that are passionate about bringing whatever it is that they're creating into the world. And that's where the coaching profession can really thrive, is if we find technologies, and it's not just digital technology I'm talking about, human technology, new forms of interacting with the human being are also going to disrupt the coaching profession.
Well, you just wrapped up the whole session in a great way there, Eric. That was wonderful. Look, before we sign off, I want two things. One is, how do people get a hold of you?
Okay. They can get a hold of me on my email address. Can I give my email?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So it's eric.kohner, K-O-H-N-E-R, at icloud.com.
Okay.
Eric Kohner at iCloud.com. Also, very soon, I will have a presence on the TeamCoachingZone.com. But if you want to find out about some of the products and services, go to TeamCoachingZone.com.
All right. And anything else that you want to that you didn't get to say that you want to share with the audience, or that I kind of interrupted your train of thought before we sign off here today?
There probably is, but I can't think of anything right now. I think I've just been having too much fun with you.
Eric, this has been a great discussion. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to face a long commute both ways and share your knowledge with our audience and give me a chance to get to meet you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, look, welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show community.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then I want to thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com, and be sure to check out our archives for other shows with other great guests. And speaking of guests, we're always scheduling guests, so if you'd like to be in the show, you can send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, or you can find the spot on our website where you just fill out that you want to be on the show. Well, look, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Our goal, as always, is to have discussions that provide you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. I'll be back with you again on August 11th at our new time of 3 p.m. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller.